Welcome to the Launch Grow Joy Show, where entrepreneurs learn how to launch a business and grow it with joy. And now, here's your host, Andrea Ayers.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to episode 48 of the Launch Grow Joy Show. I can't believe we are nearing 50 episodes. So exciting. And I can't wait to share with you even more awesome episodes, which includes today's episode with Andy Hayes, who is the founder and owner of Plum Deluxe. Now, for all of the show notes for this episode, make sure to go to launchgrowjoy.com/048, and you'll get a link to Andy's site and some of the other sources we talked about in today's interview. Now, there were a lot of different things that I could have talked to Andy about, but what I wanted to focus our conversation on today was doing blogger reviews and giveaways and working with bloggers in general to drive more traffic to your website and to get new customers for your products. I know this is a strategy that I've personally used with a lot of success, and I know many of you listening are either already doing it or you're thinking about doing it, but you're not sure of which way to go. So today's interview with Andy is going to shed some light on working with bloggers to get more traffic and sales to your website. But before we go to the interview, I wanted to give a shout out to today's sponsor, which is Shopify. As you know, Shopify is one of my favorite e-commerce platforms. They help you to get your online store up and running super fast, super easy. You don't need a big investment. You don't need a designer. They have many beautiful templates that you can choose from. And you really can get your online store up and running in a matter of minutes. So I highly recommend you check out Shopify. And when you do, make sure to follow my link at launchgrowjoy.com/Shopify, because Shopify has shared a special deal only with Launch Grow Joy podcast listeners and members of the community. But to get that deal, you'll have to go to launchgrowjoy.com/Shopify and enter your name and email address. And once you do that, you will get access to the awesome deal that I have worked out with Shopify. So without further ado, here is my interview with Andy Hayes of Plum Deluxe. And for all show notes, make sure to go to launchgrowjoy.com/048. Hey, Andy, how are you?
Awesome. Hello, 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 people.
Hey, I am very excited to have you on the show today. I know we were supposed to do our recording, I think it was back in April or May, and I had to postpone because of all the craziness with my speaking and taking a break from my podcast for the summer and all of that. So I'm glad to finally be able to connect and talk to you.
Of course, it's no problem. I think you even moved too, didn't you?
I did. I moved last summer, but but moving is definitely something that I do, it seems, every few years. So I wouldn't have been surprised if I did move.
Well, this is a great show. It's worth the wait. Thanks for having me.
Yes, yes. I'm very excited to have you on. So I want to talk about your online store, Plum Deluxe. But before we get into all the details, I know we're going to focus a lot today on working with bloggers and how that's been working out for you. But I was wondering if you can just take a couple of moments and give us a quick intro about how you started and what your background is.
Absolutely. So, as you mentioned, the store that I currently run is called Plum Deluxe, and I took the very scenic route to getting into the online store business. I'm actually a technology guy by trade. I have a couple of tech degrees and spent many years, over a decade, in the big enterprise software industry. So that's where the software that big companies use to pay, you know, millions of people or organized manufacturing for hundreds and thousands and millions of products. And I did love that world. That was a great start to a career. I made a lot of money. I traveled the world. I worked with really smart people. And it was actually really fun and empowering to have a job to solve these really cool, complicated problems. But for me, it didn't work out so well because I experienced not one, but two and a half corporate mergers and acquisitions. And each time I found myself in a situation where I was making a little less money or losing a few more benefits or working on projects that were a little less interesting or working for a manager that was just not quite as nice. And as one can imagine, you can only tolerate that so much before you decide that it's too much.
Yep.
So I decided it was too much. You know, it was just not for me. I was miserable, and I would go out on my own. People had always told me for years that I should go out on my own, and I had decided that it was too risky. That I wasn't, I shouldn't be responsible for my own, you know, well-being. Mm. But then after working for really nasty managers for so long and people, you know, just being so miserable, I decided, well, you know, like, how risky could it be? You know, this is not fun. This is not worth it. This is not, you know, this isn't good enough. So you know, if people who are listening are in that same situation of feeling like you can't get past that risk, I really encourage you to think of ways to at least try and get around that, because you deserve better. We all deserve to have a good life. And if your job really stinks, you got to get past that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Although I didn't start my own business because of bad managers, I've definitely had plenty of them. So I totally can relate to that. Thank you for sharing that. So how did you get the idea for Plum Deluxe specifically?
Well, you know, when I started, I didn't know really what I wanted to do. And I don't actually advise that. I think it's good idea to spend a little more time than I did thinking about what you really want to do day to day. But if not, you'll work it out. You know, you'll figure it out. So for me, I had had all these technology skills, and I was actually at the time living in Edinburgh, Scotland. And, you know, the freelancer space there is pretty small, and people knew me. So it was very easy for me to kind of pick up work. So I just kind of did technology, you know, IT projects on the side while I was trying to decide what I wanted to do. And what happened is I took on so many of those projects that I ended up kind of building a really crappy job for myself. I was back working on the same things that I had decided I wanted to get away from, but who was in charge? Me. And what did I say? Oh, you can take on another project. You can work 4 hours. You can work late tonight. You can skip that hiking trip. You can work over the weekend. I don't advise that either. You know, freelancers, people who are self-employed, man, we can be really terrible bosses to ourselves. It's terrible. So I had a really big wake-up call. My mother, who had had breast cancer for 6 years, passed. And that was my wake-up call to say, like, okay, you need to stop doing what feels like what everybody else wants to do and come up with a life, a business, a plan that is for you. And I decided, you know, one of the things that I've always really enjoyed is, and one of the things I've been trying to explore is when I lived in Europe for a very long time. I was born in the United States, but I lived over there for a long time. And the one thing that I could never get my head around was why people there, especially in places like Holland, where I lived for a long time, are so happy and they have such a rich, rich life, but it's really simple. And so Plum Deluxe really started as a place for me to have this conversation around, you know, having a good life. What does that mean? How do we create, you know, great moments every day? You know, what are the little things in life that really make it special and good? And that was kind of a blog, you know, online magazine sort of thing. And I noticed at that point it was starting to really take off. You know, people were really interested in what I was talking about, but I was not making any money. So I kind of, you know, ended up in a very different situation. I was really enjoying the work I was doing, but I was not getting compensated. Another thing that's not so great. And so I started off taking sponsorships, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with sponsors. This podcast has a sponsorship, you know, nothing wrong with that. But I, as I was growing, I found it very hard to find sponsors I liked that could pay the rates that we wanted to charge. And, you know, what's really interesting along the way, Andrea, is that people were always saying to me, I really wish you would make a product because I would buy it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Plum Deluxe should have their own products. They could be a whole store. You know, people have always said that to me. You could have a whole store of things that are Plum Deluxe because...
Yeah.
making moments that matter is our tagline. And, you know, people could just, you know, really envision that, you know. And I did everything but that. I did events, which people liked, but were very difficult. I didn't like doing that. We just did all sorts of things, you know, intense promotion of other people's products, you know, with affiliate marketing, and, you know, everything kind of did okay, but not good enough to continue. Mm-hmm. It was only when I finally did my own product that it really took off. It really worked. Enjoying the work and getting well paid for it.
Yeah, that's such an inspiring story, and it's so great to hear. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I agree. Sometimes we're not really sure where we're going with our business, but then listening to what other people want from you, I think is sometimes a really great way to sort of steer ourselves towards the direction we should be taking. And I'm glad to hear that you actually listened to what other people were asking for and wanting, and you decided to pursue that, which is the other thing that I wanted to talk about today. I know you've had a lot of success with doing blogger reviews and product reviews. So can we talk a little bit about how you decided to do that, or why you decided to do that, and how you went about it?
Sure. So I guess I should introduce or explain our current product focus at the moment.
Definitely.
So
yes.
Yeah, it might be helpful. And if people are, you know, you can go to plumdeluxe.com and follow along. So people did not, you know, say to me, oh, you know, we would really, I think you guys should have tea. That's what you should do. People didn't actually say that. But people said, you know, I really love the concept of mindfulness and slowing down and really thinking about how we spend our time. So products that help support that would be really cool. That's what people said. How can you help me slow down? So I, you know, to me, then it was obvious. I was like, oh, you know, I have really enthusiastic about tea, and that would be so much fun. So that's the path that I set out on. And I decided in the beginning that I didn't have a huge marketing budget. I mean, who does have a huge marketing budget? You know, like, this does not exist. I am in a very good place with my tea business, and I still do not have a huge marketing budget. But I decided that, you know, if I was going to build a product line that was very intentional and thoughtful and encourage people to slow down and be more mindful about how they spend their time, then why don't I, you know, live up to that promise with marketing that is very intentional and kind of thoughtful and mindful. So that's why I felt like, you know, working with bloggers was a natural start. You know, I could really build relationships. I could meet people one-on-one and say, not in person, but, you know, via email, you know, and say, you know, this is my story. This is why I created this company. This is what I'm trying to do with my product. And, you know, it's tea. You know, would you like to check it out? And that really worked for me. That really got me started. And here's what's really interesting is, and we'll get into some mechanics and why it really worked for me and how I make it really successful in a minute. But here's what's really interesting in my case is I often get the bloggers that I pitch signing up as customers.
That's amazing.
They often buy gifts, you know, for their friends. And, you know, it's almost like that them telling people about me gets me more than them putting something on their blog. And the reason I think that is because I am so very intentional about who I pitch. For me, it's more about who than what their page views are.
Interesting. So how do you select who you pitch?
That's the tricky one. So I'm going to have to focus on tea and just clue you in into my process. You'll have to change this for what your product is. But for me, you know, like let's just say you're starting out. Your first instinct would be to go for tea bloggers, right? And careful, tea party bloggers are something totally different. So if you really have a tea company, don't do that. And that's actually a real, you know, example of where this is a challenge. You know, it does take time to do this stuff. So you have to just, yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So just, you know, one day at a time. And actually, I do this, by the way, I do this research, this kind of, you know, like, searching and thinking about keywords, I have a big, thick journal, and I sit on the sofa and watch bad TV at night with my iPad and do some of this research. Makes it feel really easy. And then at my desk, I'm doing like the professional stuff, you know, the emails and the follow-up and the tracking. So I think, you know, you could start with something like that, teen bloggers, but, you know, for me, there's not that many of them. So you go through that list really quickly. And you may find that, you know, some of them, they just don't resonate for you. You don't feel like they're a site you would want to be represented on. And if you feel that way, don't pitch them. You know, just because a site is huge does not mean you need to be on it. If it doesn't feel like it's someplace you want to be, then skip it, because there are plenty of them. You know, you just keep moving. But I really think about words and phrases and topics that center around my product. So, like, last night I was looking at something, and I noticed a keyword that I really should spend some time on, which was I love tea. You know, and you can actually search in Google, you know, quote, I love tea, and then put in some date filters, and you can get a really good sense of who are bloggers out there that love tea. But I talk, you know, a great keyword for me is self-care. You know, our best-selling tea is a tea that's called self-care.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I wrote to self-care bloggers. This is in the very beginning. I wrote self-care bloggers. I wrote to people who were bloggers and were doing like self-care events or self-care weekends or self-care retreats, and offered to sponsor their little, you know, 12-person gathering, something like that. And those were some of the most successful. Because I feel like the power of a really good blogger connection is getting into those intimate circles. And so really drilling down into what do those look like and what are the conversations that they're having is really powerful way to find the right people. You can still get there, you know, using keywords like t-shirts or soap or, you know, whatever. But I really think it's much more useful. You can find a lot of blogs that maybe are a good place for you and aren't being as pitched as much by thinking outside the box. And I mean that very literally. Like, the box is the name of your product, and then around that are the things that are tangential, you know, self-care, organic, natural living, holistic, you know, these kind of things. And if you just spend some time on that, and I promise you, the more you get into it, the easier it gets. You can start to find some patterns and some conversation threads that find you to the right blogs.
Yeah, I, as you were speaking, the words that I was going to say are thinking outside the box. And I think it really shows the power of thinking outside the box in this case, because it really is true. And I had a similar experience with my soap business as well, where I decided to not pitch. I pitched eco-friendly bloggers and maybe some of the beauty bloggers too. But thinking outside the box here really does help. And I'm wondering for you, do you look at, I know you said that the conversations they're having are more important than the actual metrics, but do you ever look at things like their social media followers, the number of comments that they have? How do you decide if a blogger that you think is a good idea is a definite yes?
Yeah, that's a tough one. And I think that's different for everybody. And I think you have to look at it as a whole. So, for example, I might find a blog. There was one, I'm not going to say the name, but there was one I just saw, you know, the other day. And I really liked how she was writing her reviews. They were really thoughtful and interesting. And the photos were cool. And it was just like kind of a different take on tea reviews. And she was doing tea reviews. It was pretty generic, you know, stuff here. But she was just doing it in a different way. And I thought I'd really like to work with her. Like, I really like how she's doing that. And I noticed that her social media buttons, I love when you can see the share numbers, because then that's really helpful. You don't, you know, like, forget the media kit. I want to see what that says. They were low, you know, it was like 25 Facebook shares, but, you know, it just felt good, you know, and I just thought it would be worth it. I feel like it would be worth it in this case. And she also lived in Vermont, which is a place we don't have a lot of customers. So for me, you know, there was on the one side, on like if you kind of picture a triangle or square or something, I don't know what shape this is. On one corner, she doesn't have a huge amount of traffic, or he, I don't remember who it was, but this side did not have huge traffic numbers. But on all other sides, it was really good. Great content, very engaging. Probably could get a photo off of them to post on Instagram. You know, I like the concept. They're focused on an area of the country where we would like more customers. So it's worth a try. The other thing too, right, is this is a marathon game. This is the long haul. So you have to, at some point, come up with a fairly succinct system of making a decision on whether a blogger is a yes or a no. Because you can't spend all your time deciding, because a lot of them you'll never hear from, you know, or a lot of them will tell you, no, I'm not interested, or I want you to pay. So,
mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I'm sure I can relate to that. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to that as well. I'm also wondering, too, in terms of ROI, how is that working out for you particularly? Because it's interesting for me with my t-shirt business and with my soap business. I'm a huge fan of getting press, and I focused a lot on print, but also bloggers as well. And it's interesting because, and this is just my experience, but when I used to work with bloggers, I would see a lot of traffic and a lot of new social media followers and fans and a lot of newsletter signups. But in terms of sales, I would see more sales from the print magazines that I was in. So I guess the view with working with bloggers was a bit more long-term, because then it was my job to take those brand new newsletter subscribers and turn them into customers. And eventually that did pay off. But for me, the payoff in terms of actual sales wasn't that immediate. It was more of a long-term thing. Have you seen, or have you had the same experience, or what's been your experience with your return on investment when it comes to working with bloggers?
That's interesting. Mine has been pretty good. I find most people who come by end up buying something. So I have, on all of the places where you can buy something from us, we have the Where Did You Hear About Us? Mm-hmm. And I find that people who find you via a blogger are very apt to tell you. I've just found that. Because I also check, you know, in Google Analytics, I have the goals set up, you know, where it tells you mm-hmm. if you know, how many tea of them, you know, our big thing is Tea of the Month Club. So that's like the big one. And it's like, how many Tea of the Month Club sales were there? How many, you know, a la carte e-commerce purchases were there? How many email signups were there? And then I see where the referrals are. And, you know, a lot of times those don't match, because people will say, I heard about it on Facebook, but then analytics says they clicked on your Google, you know, they came from Google. So it's like, oh, you know, who knows which one was first? Probably some combination of, but I find that the good thing about that is, you know, bloggers tend to get people to mention you, or say I heard it at, you know, Launch Grow Joy, you know, how cool. Yeah, if you buy something from me, say you heard it on Launch Grow Joy, please.
Yes.
And I'll send you a little surprise. So that's the good thing. And I actually find that people do, I get pretty good results from that, especially when, you know, bloggers are linking directly to products that they're talking about.
Yeah. Well, that's really refreshing and really great to hear. And I think it's encouraging for everyone listening too, because as I was saying before, I am a huge fan of working with bloggers, not just for the sales, but also for the SEO and the exposure and everything else that comes along with
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I will say, in my experience, this your mileage may vary, is that I have better results working with bloggers on some kind of special offer that they can give their readers. We like to do a surprise or a bonus tea as opposed to a discount. I find I get better results from that than doing a giveaway.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
It's just me. I don't like the giveaways. I feel like they just get a little buzzy and kind of attract people that are not your right crowd. So I prefer the offers, and I actually work with each blogger individually on that when appropriate. I don't do that for everyone. If someone asks, I almost always will do it, but I don't always put it out there, if you know what I mean.
Yes, that's great to know. Thank you for sharing that. I know I get that question all the time too. So I think that'll shed some light on this topic for my audience. So now that you have your list of bloggers and you've determined that they're a great fit, what are the next steps for you? How do you reach out? Do you follow up if you don't hear back? What's your process like?
Well, you and I have a pretty similar approach to that. So this is not going to be news for people who are regular listeners. So Andrea's free pitch templates are great. Are those for your email list? Is that how you get them?
I usually offer them during, if I'm doing a webinar or something along those lines, where I offer it as a bonus, but I am happy to link to the link in this episode. It's basically at launchgrowjoy.com/free download.
Cool. Well, those are really good. I think people should check those out. And spend some time on your template, because you're going to reuse it over and over again. But in general, I want to highlight this because it's one of the most important parts of the whole thing, is your template needs to be short, have a photo. I find this was specifically your advice, Andrea, was to add a photo, and yes. I find that that has improved my results a lot.
I'm glad to hear that. Hear that from reporters all the time when I ask them what their pet peeves are or what they wish they would see. So many of them say, please add a photo. Do not send me an email without a photo. So,
one good one. That's it. Don't overdo it. Because people know that you have more. It's not like it's a surprise that you have them hiding somewhere.
Right.
So a good pitch. Personalized. Always personalized. I know for me, you know, having a blog, I do get pitched, and I will never read it if it does not have my name on it, for sure. If you're going to do all this effort, please take the time to say, you know, like, hi, Andy, you know, blah, my name is blah, blah, blah. I heard about you from, or I was reading your article about, and I was really intrigued about the story you told on your about page, you know, blah, blah, blah. Personalize, personalize, personalize. It takes 2 minutes, but it's, you know, you're going to get, you know, for me, I get a response rate on blogger pitches of like 60-70%. And most people get like 10-5%. And it's because I write an intro that is personal. So get personal. Take the time.
That's amazing. That response rate is pretty good. And thank you for sharing that. I agree. I get pitched all the time too. And if someone uses my name and they just share one thing that they know about me or what I've done or what I'm working on, it really gets my attention.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got to get that pitch template right. The other thing that's really important is some kind of tracking. I use Asana for most things. Asana for us is really important too if we send out samples. But here's the, you asked about follow-ups, and I think that's important to cover. I also have a spreadsheet. I have a lot of spreadsheets, probably too many. But, you know, let's just say, okay, so I'm pitching people, and I have the same ethos about following up for bloggers as I do for journalists, which is follow up once, and that's it. So I email them, and then a week later, if I haven't heard anything, I send a quick, you know, I forward it, you know, and I have a little two-liner that says, you know, hey, did you get my email from last week? I'd love to connect with you, and I have some samples to share if you're interested. And that's it. I don't follow up again. The hard part is deciding whether to try it again later. So maybe like 20% of people I'll put onto a spreadsheet that says, you know, try these people again later with a different topic, a different, like if, you know, you were trying to get into their holiday gift guide, you know, it's kind of that season right now when we're talking. So you're trying to get in their holiday gift guide, you can't get a response. You could decide, okay, I'll try again later for Valentine, or I'll try them next spring for summer iced tea. So I only do two because I just have found it's not worth the effort to hassle people. Yeah. And then if they do respond to you, you make sure that's for us when they get into Asana, so that we can really closely track what's going on. Did they get sent the samples that we promised them? To check and make sure that the samples arrive. So I always drop a quick note and make sure that they arrived okay. Even though I do the tracking, you know, and it says deliver to inbox, I still check because people say, oh, I didn't get it. And it's like, well, yes, you did. And then they say, oh, you're right, I'm sorry, it was underneath a pile of papers or something. So,
yeah.
So I follow, you know, I follow up a little more closely, and then I kind of back off. I give them time to put something together. I'm very aware, kind of aware of, you know, what their posting calendar is. And so I just back off, you know, and especially the bigger the site, the longer lead time it can be. It almost sometimes can turn into, you know, like a magazine lead time of, you know, 2 or 3 months. But I definitely keep my eye on the pulse. And if I've not heard anything, I do a gentle follow-up until I get something. Of course, sometimes you'll follow, you know, bloggers will disappear on you. That's going to happen to you. You have to just accept that you will send free things, free product to someone, and they will vanish.
Yeah,
that's just an unfortunate reality.
It is, yes.
Yeah, but just good tracking here is really key. It can just make this feel really easy. I recommend Asana, whatever you have, just have something that has, you know, the name and some comments about what you've sent and when did you send it, so you can plan on follow-ups. And what I do to kind of make life a little easier is Tuesdays and Wednesdays are usually my days where I book a couple of hours to do this stuff, to follow up with people, to send out fresh pitches, to prep some samples, you know, that kind of thing. And so every week I'm doing a little bit, so it doesn't feel like please do not, like at the first of the month, decide you're going to do 9 hours of blogger outreach. You're going to, your eyeballs will start bleeding. It's not good.
Right. that's great. And I actually use Asana as well. And I'll make sure to put a link in the show notes here because it is really helpful. And especially when it comes to following up or keeping track of everything. So that is really great advice, Andy. Thank you so much for sharing that. The last thing I wanted to ask before we wrap up here, I feel like we can talk about this for hours on end. It's one of my favorite topics to talk about. But I'm wondering, is there anything that you do specifically once your review or the post goes live on your end?
Yes, I do a few things. So if they have really good photos, I ask if we can use them in our media kit and or post them on social media. I always ask permission.
Great.
I know that I suppose I could just do it, especially for the social media, but I like to be a nice gentleman, you know, I like to be a good custodian of the internet and ask. And people always say yes, but you just ask. Of course, thank you, you know, tell them thank you. If you find it on their website and they haven't emailed you, it's fine to drop them a note and say, I saw it was live, it's amazing, thank you, you're amazing. I have a page. You just were writing about media kits or press kits, I think, weren't you?
I did, yes.
Yeah. So something on the site right now we should link to. But I have a page with links to all the reviews. And I actually started that because I was finding I didn't have a good place to track it. So I made a page, actually. And then I called it, and I did a little SEO trick, and I called it Plum Deluxe Tea Reviews so that I would start ranking for my own keyword term.
Love that idea. Yes.
Yeah. And so I post all the reviews there and a little quote from them. And I've used that a couple times. You know, I've had a couple of magazine journalists say, like, oh, you know, do you have a place where, you know, all of the current reviews that other people have posted? I said, oh, heck yeah, it's right here, you know, have at it. So that's really nice. And I kind of feel like you're giving another link back to the blogger. So it just, you know, makes everyone feel really good. And then I don't really do anything else, except I'm very mindful about what the results are. We talked about, you know, seeing what people say, you know, referred them. And if especially like if it was a tea club, you know, which happens every month, if a blogger did really well, I will make sure that I get them into Asana to get a follow-up sooner rather than later. You know, we've worked with a lot of sites that review subscription boxes all the time. Like they do these unboxings, like where they, you know, yes, open the envelope, mm-hmm, on video. And, you know, I think some of it's a little silly, but people really like it. So if one of them is really performing and it seemed like the person was really digging our product, I will put them on the list to follow up a little more sooner, as opposed to, you know, some blogs I may decide, you know, that was kind of a one hit. You know, I don't really feel the need to jump back in there anytime soon.
Well, that's great. It's funny about the unboxing because I recently also wrote a post about Periscope, and I've seen quite a few bloggers do unboxing now on Periscope too. So people seem to really love the whole concept and the idea behind it. Yeah. Well, Andy, this was so great. Thank you so much for sharing this. I think our audience and our listeners are really going to find this really helpful. And I know you did such a great job of walking us through the process step by step. And it's really great to hear that this is working for you so well. And I highly encourage everyone to try it. But you do have to have a strategy, like you were saying. So, Andy, thank you so much. Where is the best place for our listeners to get a hold of you, to see what you're doing, what you're up to, and to hopefully sign up and get themselves one of your Teave subscription boxes as well?
Oh, absolutely. You can find me at Plum Deluxe, PlumDeluxe, and I'm sure we'll have a link in the notes, plumdeluxe.com. If you have a question for me personally, you could, of course, use the contact form on the website. But if you're a Twitter person, I am also a Twitter bug. My personal handle there is Andrew G. Hayes, H-A-Y-E-S. So if you want to talk shop, you can always ping me there as well.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Andy. I will make sure to put both of those in the show notes along with some of the other links that we've talked about. And thank you so much for sharing your in-depth strategy for working with bloggers today. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Good luck, everyone.
Thanks. Bye. All right, so there was the interview with Andy Hayes of PlumDeluxe.com. As I mentioned, make sure to go to launchgrowjoy.com/048 to get all of the show notes and the links we talked about in this episode. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the Launch Grow Joy show on iTunes, make sure to do so by going to launchgrowjoy.com/iTunes. That way you'll be the first to know when a new episode launches. So make sure you subscribe. And if you haven't yet left a comment and review, make sure to do that as well. The more comments and reviews and ratings the show has, the more likely iTunes is to show it to other entrepreneurs who are looking to grow their online store sales. So I really hope you enjoyed this episode, and I cannot wait to see you next week with another awesome interview. Have a great day, everyone. Bye.